This is ESPN Chicago, WNVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. You can also catch the show on YouTube as well. YouTube.com. Just search ESPN Chicago. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan, we talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season, 9 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. At 9:15, we'll have a special treat as Bubba Watson, a Masters champion and current member of Live Golf's Range Goats team, will join us at 9:15 to talk about Bolingbrook, talk about his golf career. So looking forward to that conversation. And Mike, you are up in the great state of Michigan today as the CDGA is taking on the Golf Association of Michigan in a little Ryder Cup match. So good morning to you.
Good morning, Tyler, and good morning, everybody, back in Chicago. Yeah, I am actually sitting on the 10th tee watching the teams make the turn. Literally, the first group has just arrived. They are teeing off to my left, and I get to watch the tee shots from a vantage point of 100 feet up in the air.
Wow.
As they go down to these fairways.
They got you in the 10th tower.
I know. I mean, it's like being up in the second balcony at the United Center watching a Hawks game, because when you come up north here into Michigan to Tullymore, they have a course here, St. Ives. It is Northern Michigan at its best, and the elevation changes that we have are going to pose some problems for, I think, the team from Chicago. We are very used to very flat lands around here, and, you know, as a result, I think the Michigan team has an advantage today. But going into today, the Chicago team has the lead from yesterday's four-ball competition that we played over at Tullymore yesterday afternoon. So the Chicago team is winning 7.5 to 4.5. But as we all know, in match play and in this type of format, anything can happen, and it all will come down to tomorrow in singles. But we're having a ball up here. Tullymore has been nothing but the greatest host, and what a place to come in the middle of summer, as they say, pure Michigan. We're experiencing it here. We're having fun, and there are so many new friendships and fellowship that has gone on this weekend already. You'd think that this group has already been together for 3 years. In fact, that's what Matt Golden, who we'll talk to later in the show, said to me this morning. He said, for a group that didn't know each other yesterday morning, it sure seems like a lot of friendships were born last night. And that's exactly what the game of golf can do for you, and that's what it's doing for us up here at the Tullymore Golf Resort.
Well, that's fantastic, and you're on foreign soil, but bring home the trophy. We are rooting for you here in the Chicagoland area, in the Chicago district. So good luck to you and everyone else out there in Michigan at Tullymore. Even though it's foreign soil, probably for you and many other CDGA members, Tullymore, not a foreign soil or course to many of you playing it today.
No, it really isn't. You know, they've been a corporate partner of the CDGA for, I think we were talking last night, for their sixth season with us. And, you know, the Chicago market is so very important to Tullymore, because it is just that perfect distance for, if you're going up way north, you can stop here and get in around, or if you're returning. But it's just a simple 3.5 hour drive from the city, right around the lake. And it's it is so different up here than what we're accustomed to at home. So this has been a real treat. But yes, to your point, a lot of CDGA members have taken advantage of the various benefits over the years. So we do have some players here that have seen Tully Moore on countless occasions, but we do have some new players here. So it's interesting to hear the remarks afterwards and the differences between what they're seeing here and what we typically see at home. So this has just been a great opportunity. I think it's our inaugural event, and we are looking forward to doing this again next year, bringing another team of 12 up against their team of 12 and having another fun weekend. So this is the very start of something we think is going to be very special for the years to come.
That's awesome. And good luck to you and everyone else playing up there. All right. The BMW Championship is currently in progress. It's an event that was held here last year at Olympia Fields. It was an epic event. We saw plenty of guys go low last year, and we're seeing it again. A couple of course records yesterday, one from Adam Scott firing a 63 early in the day, and then another one from Ludvig Åberg as well. He'll go 72-63 to get him to 9-under and really elevate him up the leaderboards, and he is currently sitting in third. Adam Scott, your leader at 13-under. Sandwiched between them is back-to-back consistent rounds from Keegan Bradley, 66-68. Alex Noren at 8-under. He is in fourth. Taylor Pendrith at 7-under in fifth. Really hasn't been a tournament for the stars. Now, it is worth noting Hideki Matsuyama was in a great spot. He was tied for second after the first round, but had to withdraw due to some back tightness and soreness. So he is not playing after winning last week at the St. Jude. And in what started out as pretty dominant fashion, got a little close late, but Hideki held on to win that one with all the circumstances surrounding him being robbed the week before, not having his caddy because his caddy didn't have his passport as a result of said robbery. So all of that, everything flying around Hideki, but he is not going to be participating for the final three rounds of this one. But it has been a tournament where if you like bombs, you've come to the right place, because guys are hitting the golf ball a mile out at Castle Pines in Colorado.
Oh, they certainly are. And it's funny, a lot of the caddies and the players themselves have cheat sheets and charts. It's almost like they have to use this metric conversion chart to figure out exactly how far the ball's going to fly due to the elevation that they're at. They are hitting some enormous distances and carries that just, if you didn't know that they were in Colorado and you happen to walk by your TV and then you hear somebody hitting 8-iron from 210 yards, just as a matter of fact, that's just what happens when you go out to 6,000 feet elevation and the air is as thin as it is. But it's been interesting. I've been watching some of the gadgets and gizmos to help the players and caddy dial in, because like anything else, more, you know, distance control becomes a premium, especially when you go out to Castle Pines in that elevation. So, you know, if you make one mistake, you could find yourself 20, 30 yards beyond your target, or short for that matter, but generally it would be long. So, yeah, it's providing for some great theater. Some guys are really taking advantage of it and taking to it. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see like a guy like Wyndham Clark, who's from out that way and has, you know, major elevation experience in his favor, as does Ludvig Åberg. He came from Texas Tech. They play up at 3,200 feet at his collegiate career. So it's interesting. The guys that have some high elevation experience are naturally finding themselves at the top half of the leaderboard.
Yeah, Ludvig, the shot of the tournament so far, and you rarely see a shot of the tournament off of a tee box on a non-par three, but a 418-yard three wood. I mean, that's the type of distance we're talking about here. Not 418 yards with a driver, with a three wood. He also had an eagle yesterday on 14, where he had an approach shot from 305 yards out, and he stuck it to 6 feet. Like, that's the type of absurd shot selection and making that we are seeing from a lot of these guys with the elevation. That just goes to show you the conversion they're working with. And like you mentioned, Ludvig, a guy with a little bit of experience, and he's using it to his advantage, and that's why he sits in third right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it was interesting, Tyler, back when I was growing up and, you know, being exposed to the game throughout college and in my professional life. You know, the International was a tournament that we look forward to every year just because of the distances and just the absurdness of what's going on. And this was back when we had just standard golf equipment, 43-inch driver, steel shaft, little heads, you know. And even then they were flying them amazing distances. Well, the International event has since gone away, which is sad to say. It was the Stableford event that we had for many, many years, and it was just a different format. And I think came at a time during the schedule when, you know, you're in those dog days of tournaments in the summer, and this was one of those that just sort of stood out because it was the one event that having a lot of points, positive points, was actually a good thing, not a bad thing. So now that the International has gone away and the equipment has blossomed and gotten only better, more sophisticated, and allowing these players to hit it naturally further when they're at sea level, it's now amazing to me to see, just like you said, we heard absurd distances, you know, 15, 20 years ago, but not 400-yard three woods. You know, that's just amazing, and that goes to show you how much the technology has advanced this game. And then if you couple it with the things that Mother Nature gives us, whether it's elevation, wind, or what have you, it's amazing when the guys of this talent put it all together. The distances and the shots that they can execute up at that altitude is just absolutely a joy and fun to watch.
All right, when we come back, we will talk with two-time Masters champion Bubba Watson. That's coming up next. This is the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. We're with you talking golf every single Saturday morning. And it's our pleasure now to head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above, where we find two-time Masters champion and member of the Range Goats GC. It's Bubba Watson joining us on the CDGA Golf Show. Good morning, Bubba. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course. As the LIV Golf's individual championships head out to Bolingbrook Golf Club September 13th through 15th, you can get your tickets at livegolf.com. So, Bubba, coming back to the Chicagoland area, when you think of Chicagoland golf, what kind of sticks out to you?
Chicago or Chicagoland golf? you know, I just think of sports. So I know there's a lot of great golf courses in Chicago. I just think about all the fans because there's so much sports there. They just love all sports. And so golf is a big thing for the Chicago area.
Well, Bubba, you know, on behalf of Range Goat Nation, we look forward to seeing you here in Chicago, specifically at Bolingbrook next month. And myself, I am a huge Range Goats fan because, quite frankly, I am a Range Goat. I spend a lot of time on the range. But my question, and I've been asked this by a lot of people, where did the name Range Goats come from, and did you, in particular, have anything to do with the color and the name and the logo?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I designed it myself. I had, obviously, a help of people. We had some designers. We had my general manager, Randall Wells, for my team. Being the franchise owner, we got to pick out the colors, the design, the name, everything. And when you think about the name, like you just said, though, like people spend time on the range, they get to get a another ball. If you hit a terrible golf shot, you get another ball and you get to perfect it on the range. And so we're all goats on the range, right? We're all good on the range. And then we go to the golf course, we panic. And so I thought it was funny that name range goats. And then when you think of the word goat, we think of greatest of all time, right? But for me, it's golfers on a team. It's grow on a team. So that's how I use the letters from goat. And so the colors was, how do you make a team stand out? How do you make a team be noticed? How do you do things like that? And when you talk about charity giving and different things like that, the color pink, bright color pink, stands out to me. So I went that route. That's the route I've always been on my driver and everything. So it just made sense to go have the pink in the team and the team colors. So yeah, there's a lot of thought into it. And I, being owner of a minor league baseball team, we went the minor league baseball team route and how to make the fans interested and follow the team more.
Yeah, so you're the co-owner of the Pensacola Blue Wahoos. By the way, we're talking with Bubba Watson here. Have you always been a baseball fan?
Yeah, Don Mattingly was my favorite, being left-handed. I know I was from Florida, but watching the Yankees when I was growing up. So, yeah, my dad wanted me to be a left-handed pitcher, but I chose golf. So he wasn't happy at first, but he ended up being happy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he's pretty happy by that decision.
Yeah.
Bubba, last year, your team had a fourth-place team finish. And, you know, after all, from the year before finishing 12th, your team was ascending in a real nice way. Why all the activity in the trades postseason when it looked like things for the Range Goats were trending upward in a big way?
Well, that's a phenomenal question. Truthfully, you know how teams, you've probably seen it, heard it, felt it, where players might not mesh with teams. And so you trade based on that. But also, like I said earlier, goat, grow on a team. I felt like the reason why I went to live, one of the many reasons that I went to live, is so that I could help people. I could help people grow, and I could influence them, maybe by my own mistakes or maybe by just things I say to them. And so Matthew Wolf, he's 25 years old, and I obviously wanted to get him on the team and help him in life, not on golf. I can't help him in golf. He's so talented. He's good at golf. Yeah, I just got to help him in life, or I felt like I needed to help him in life. And so, but to make that trade, I had to make two pieces. I wanted to get Peter Uihlein, because that's his good friend back home where they live in Florida, and they play a lot of golf together. So I was like, man, if I could get him on the team and then get Wolf, that'll make him happy, and it'll just be a better fit for us. And so that's what I did. That's why I did it. Not because I didn't think the other guys were very good at golf. It was just because I wanted to help this kid in life. I could see a lot of myself in Matthew Wolf, and I didn't want him to go through the same things I went through or still going through or still going to deal with in my life. So I tried to help him.
Bubba Watson, our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. And Bubba, with the team aspect of LIV, how has that transition changed things from traditional golfing formats and tours that you've played on?
Well, first of all, I think that we're getting the guys that people want to see. They know every day of the tournament they'll be there. There's no cut. I think that from traditional golf, you might only have one day to go to the tournament, and it might be on Saturday, it might be on Sunday, and your favorite player's not there. And so when you think about these big names that are coming, like just Chicago or all parts of the world, you're getting to see these great major champions, these great players, and it's fun, right? You might like Brooks Koepka, he'll be there every day. You might like Patrick Reed, he'll be there every day. So you know what you're getting into, you know what's going to be there. And then when you think about the music, the entertainment, when you come out to a tournament, it's way different than you've ever imagined. Like in Chicago, the Range Goats will have a petting zoo. We'll have goats there right off the range where kids can come out. So it's different than a golf tournament. It's a real show. It's real entertainment. And then there's golf as well. So if you're a true sports enthusiast, you watch golf, and then the kids have things to do. The moms have things to do, and the moms don't really want to walk in 18 holes of golf. So it's just in concerts. I mean, there's just so many things different than than just traditional, just golf and quiet and walking around.
And to your point, Bubba, we did see that out at Rich Harvest last year. And the goats, I think, were the most popular sidebar attraction other than the players themselves. So we look forward to seeing those out in Bolingbrook. And, yeah. You know, earlier Tyler mentioned the team concept. You know, earlier in the season, you had podium finishes in Vegas and in Miami. And then most recently, you had a seventh in the UK and a fifth at the Greenbrier. And it seems like you guys are starting to play like range goats again that we know and come to expect. But what happened in West Virginia that wasn't happening in Houston, Nashville, or over in Spain? And as a captain, do you feel those types of weeks coming on when you finish a 12th or somewhere way out of the podium? And then how do you reverse course with your team that quickly?
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, one challenge as golfers for LIV is you've got 14 events. And those 14 events, you don't get to pick your courses. You know, on other tours, you have 40 events or 30 events, so you pick the golf courses that fit your game. And on LIV, you can't do that. Like, everybody's exposed, right? It might be a course that fits you. It might be a course that doesn't. I haven't played my best this year, so I've let the team down quite a bit. But then when you think about weather, right, you know, our team might not play. If you dig into it, we might play better in cold weather. We might play better in hot weather. And it seems like this year the heat's been following us around. So I just think it's course, weather. It's a lot of combination factors that stats don't show. And so I just think that, you know, it's that time of year now. It's crunch time. I expect us to be ready to go in Chicago. And then, listen, if we win Dallas, we're number one, right? We win the Super Bowl. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do. And right now we're heading that direction, so it's good.
Bubba Watson's our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show. So one of the coolest things that I have seen on a golf course is the golf hovercraft cart that you were behind. Any updates on when we could maybe see those? And do you think we might see those out on the course sometime in our lifetime?
You know, they sold a few of them. But the best way to say it, they're very dangerous. If you're not paying attention, golf carts can be very dangerous if you're, you know, partaking in different beverages. And so hovercrafts will really be a problem if you're partaking in those beverages.
Bubba, you're my wife's favorite player only because you share the same favorite color and you share the same birthday. So with November 5th coming up on us, who was your biggest influence in the game? And then what do you want your legacy to be when you decide to walk away from this game?
Oh, wow. Biggest influence, and it's Payne Stewart by far. And the reason why is because Payne Stewart, when I was a kid, I didn't know people's names, right? I was watching TV. It wasn't 24 hours of golf like we have the Golf Channel now, but it was – you'd sit and watch, and Payne Stewart stood out because I could pick him out of the crowd. He looked different. He had the knickers on. At one time, he had the little the silver buckles on the toes of his shoes. And then he went to NFL. He wore the NFL colors. So he stood out to me, and so he was really good at golf too. So once I realized he was really good at golf, that's another reason I like him. But for me, that's kind of the way I've done things is, you know, the pink driver, but the pink driver is more than a pink driver. It's for charity. Ping has blessed me with letting me do the pink driver for sale. We've helped the Children's Hospital in Phoenix, Arizona. We've helped the Children's Hospital in Pensacola, Florida. So the home of Ping and the home of me. So we've helped other organizations around the world. And so legacy, truthfully, I've always said this, if my kids, when I pass away, have to say two-time Masters champion first, if that's what they have to say, giving a speech about me, then I've already lost. My legacy is not where it needs to be. And I want my legacy to be a great husband, great father, and wanted to help others. And so the Children's Hospital here in Pensacola was a big deal for our family. And then when I think about goats giving, now this new thing with range goats, we're giving away goats. Every team we beat, we give away goats. That helps people outside the U.S. Get nutrition they need from the goat milk. Goat milk is the best milk in the world from nutrition. So I want to help others. I've been fortunate enough to be able to help my community, other places in the United States. So the legacy, I wanted to be Bubba Watson, always trying to help others and be the man he needed to be for his wife and kids.
Well, Bubba, before we let you go here, I know you don't want it to be number one on what we talk about in terms of your legacy, but those two Masters wins are pretty damn impressive. Like, when you look back on all of that stuff, what are you always going to remember from those trips to Augusta?
Truthfully, it's quite simple. We adopted my son two weeks before my first win at Augusta, and then later that year, in November in 14, my daughter was born November 12th. So we adopted her November 12th when my wife was there at the hospital when she was born. So those 2 years represent also my kids' birthdays, right? So those are the years they were born. So it's a lot more when I dig into it and I cry privately with that y'all don't know about. You know, I think about my kids and about how blessed I am, not only from winning, but adopting my kids on those same years.
That's fantastic. Love to hear that. All right, Bubba, thanks so much. Appreciate you taking some time with us today, and we will see you out at Bolingbrook Golf Club September 13th through 15th for the LIV Golf Individual Championships. Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Bubba Watson with
thanks,
us
Bubba.
Here on the CDGA Golf Show. All right, when we come back, we will go around what's happening in the world of golf, including some interesting stuff that Xander Schauffele had to say. Whose season would he take? The one that he's having, or Scotty's? We'll discuss that coming up next.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan just wrapped up our conversation with Bubba Watson, two-time Masters champion. You missed any of that, check it out on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts. Find us on the CDGA Golf Show tab or just search CDGA Golf Show. All right, Mike. We are in the thick of the BMW Championship right now. Your leader is Adam Scott after going 68 and then a course record 63, which was only to be tied a few hours later by Ludvig Åberg, also matching his 63. Remember, we saw that last year. Was it, I'm trying to remember who set the course record first, and then Ricky Fowler went, and then Victor Hovland went to go break it later on.
Yeah.
In that tournament, and he put together one hell of a final stretch there, not just in the BMW Championships and then following it up at Eastlake to take the FedEx Cup playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, we are seeing guys going low. We are seeing the ball hit a mile, and it has been quite the tournament so far out in Castle Rock, Colorado.
It certainly has. And, you know, as I sit here and watch, you know, these events, obviously they're playing for all kinds of money and status and all the rest of it. But the little sidebar that I'm also paying attention to is how this President's Cup, points race is going to end, because it ends this weekend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, specifically, I'm looking at, you know, these Canadians that seem to be playing some pretty good golf.
Yeah.
And will they make it on the team, let alone make it to Eastlake? So, you know, there's a lot of little matches or events within this big event to pay attention to this weekend. But that certainly is one of them. And but you're right. It's it's just going to be a type of golf, distances being, you know, you know, earned off the tee like we've never seen before. So if you've never watched these guys play at high elevations, you really should tune in this weekend for a little bit of golf, a little bit of the BMW, because, you know, like I said earlier, the International is no longer a usual stop. So this is always kind of fun to watch, especially the long bombers really, really let it go out there in that thin air. And it's absolutely amazing just how far they can hit it. But the more amazing part about it is how they can still control the distances, and that's if they can get their calculations correct and do math. So for anyone who didn't think you had to be smart to play golf, especially in the elevations, go to your math classes and learn about percentages. It'll make you a better player.
So if you don't like the British Open because, oh, it's gray, it's dreary, it's windy, and it's knocking down distances, watch this, because this is the anti-British Open, pretty much, based on the way that these guys can strike the ball and hit the ball 400 yards out at the elevation with three woods. And it's funny, too, seeing these guys really go for it at times on some of these approach shots, because if you're laying up in the thin air, like, you're kind of doing yourself a disservice. Like, I remember I saw, I forget who it was, maybe it was Keegan Bradley yesterday, and on the same hole where Ludwig went for the approach, he hit his approach shot 305 yards. Adam Scott hit his like 300, almost 320 yards. And then I want to say it was Keegan Bradley decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to lay up and only went for 180 yards. And it's just the way that these guys attack the golf course so differently as a result of the thin air is fascinating.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it's funny. In contrast, we have the women playing in the AIG Women's Open, which is the comparable to the British Open or the Open as we know it. And I guess in the first day, I think it was Charlie Hull who had to hit it on a par four, a drive, a three wood, and then a wedge. And it was only the same distance that the guy in Colorado hit his three wood. So they are at literally opposite ends of the spectrum, where, you know, the men are getting home in one shot over 400 yards, and it's taking the ladies into the wind because of the conditions at sea level in Scotland that they can't even get the ball there. Like, it's taking all of three shots to get there. So, yeah, if you tune in this morning, you'll see sea level golf over in Europe, and then this afternoon you'll see them flying high and flying far out in the thin air in Colorado.
Yeah, two totally different approaches there. Let's get to something with Xander Schauffele, because Xander has been one of the brightest stars, he's really emerged this year, and we knew he was talented, but he finally got those majors to really validate his play that he's had over the course of his career. He goes out, wins the PGAs. He goes out, wins the Open Championship. But this is something that has been a topic of discussion as we get closer and closer to naming the PGA Tour Player of the Year. And people are debating, whose season would you rather have? Would you rather have Xander's season or Scottie Scheffler's season? And we've talked about it ad nauseum, and Scottie's got one major, Xander's got two, but those two wins are the only wins that Xander has all season. He's got a ton of top tens, as does Scottie, but the difference here is Scottie has six other wins outside of his major, seven total wins for the year to Xander's two. And Xander even admitted earlier this week during his BMW pre-round press conferences, he was asked whose season he would rather have, and he said, I've only won twice and he's won seven, and that's kind of how I'm drawing it up. I feel like he'd rather take Scottie's season over his own, and I think that that's kind of where we're at as well, because the sheer amount of wins that Scottie has, and the fact that it's not like he's been shut out from a major this year. No, he has won, and it's the most iconic of the bunch as well, with it being the Masters. I think it's certainly Scottie, and I mean, I don't know. Xander may have just punted away the PGA Tour Player of the Year, any chance that he had it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the other thing you got to remember, too, about Scottie Scheffler's season is not only the wins, it's the amount of money and the amount of points. I mean, he literally could have taken off the entire second half of the season and still finished number one in the FedEx Cup points.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable how much above and beyond second fiddle Scotty has performed this year. I mean, it is a unicorn type of season, and Xander even admitted it himself. But I think right now, on the short term, everybody says, yes, I want the Scotty season over Xander's. That's until they retire, and then they add up how many majors they won. And boy, that extra one would have been nice back in 2024, I think, is how people will look at it. But for the short term, the money, the points, and the fact that it's Augusta and a gold medal, I you know, we've chatted about it, like you said. I take Scotty's all day, every day.
Yeah, and then on top of that, too, just a nice little cushy $8 million added bonus as well as a result of finishing atop the Comcast Business Tour. So it's incredible what Scotty has done this year. He's setting an earnings record, and again, part of that is because of the way that these elevated events are and these purses have been inflated to the number that they are. But it's still impressive because of the way that he's going out, and especially during that stretch of golf in April and May where it felt like he was winning every single week. He also wins the Players this year, and it feels like all of these big-time wins, and it really was remarkable when he was following up wins with wins. Like, building a winning streak in golf, are you kidding me? Like, that if you can put together a top 10 streak, that's phenomenal. But to put together winning streaks is incredible.
No, and it really is. And I think if you extrapolate out, let's just say that Scotty got hot and just really won this thing whole out. I think they added it up. It would be about like $55, $60 million he will have earned winning golf championships or playing golf, not sponsorship dollars or anything else. And so that is like the equivalence of what an NFL like top-rated quarterback makes.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's earning it.
And think about it. One of his biggest wins of the year, he doesn't make a dime off of it because it's the Olympics. And and he comes home with a gold medal. Very cool. But we talk so much about what Scotty has done and from an earnings standpoint. And one of his biggest wins of the year, he doesn't make any money off of that win. Like, that's how dominant he's been. And that's how dominant, like, just week after week to grind away on this tour while also having a child as well. And he got arrested during the year. Like, it has just been the absolute whirlwind of a season for Scottie Scheffler.
But he's been able to just keep that calm and cool demeanor, just like he does when he's ripping your heart out on the golf course. He does it in a calm, cool, gentlemanly way. Mm-hmm. I guess at the end, you feel pretty good getting beat by Scotty just because he's that nice a guy. But you're right. He's been performing at a level that is just absurd. And not only is he putting the streak together, you know, on the PGA Tour, but he's doing it in signature events. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever see anybody win 50% of them in one season. I mean, that's just incredible. And that's really where the bulk of the bank account is being built. And then how nice is it to be able to take a week off and earn $8 million because you are the best and just sit at home and be with your newborn and make $8 million on the side. So, you know, you mentioned earlier, too, that he didn't get paid anything for the gold medal. He did actually, the Olympic Committee does give out a stipend to anybody who wins medals, and I think the Americans got $32,000 or $33,000 for each gold medal, and so he did get, but for Scotty, that's like tipping
money. That's nothing, yeah.
I mean, that's nothing, but it does not count in his earnings because they weren't PGA Tour earnings. So whether you win the gold medal in fencing, golf, or gymnastics, you're getting paid the same. And that's how every country is set up. Some countries pay six figures, almost close to $700,000, $800,000, like over in Singapore, for example, who's never had a gold medal.
Yeah.
But with the number that we won this past Olympiad, it looks like we've paid out a lot of money.
Yeah, so I forget which country it was. Maybe it was like the Philippines, I want to say, and they gave out like housing for life.
Yes.
And there were some other things for life as well that they got as a result of winning a gold medal, which I believe was like their first gold medal that they had ever won. So, yeah, it's been quite the year for Scotty, and it's only going to continue as we get closer and closer to East Lake, and he's got this mega lead over for the FedEx Cup standings as well. So, listen, he's been very pedestrian, really, over the course of these FedEx Cup tournaments. And like right now, he's tied for 30th in this event. So he can kind of just coast to the finish line, and you'll see him. He'll get out to that big final lead on when we get to East Lake. He'll start with the 10-stroke advantage and then just kind of go from there. I do want to recap what took place last week at the St. Jude Championships, because that was a wild, wild finish, and Hideki Matsuyama almost lost control of the lead. But we'll discuss all that and more when we come back. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. Let's rewind real quick, Mike, to what took place last week at the FedEx St. Jude Championship down in Memphis. Hideki Matsuyama, your champion, he goes 65, 64, 64, 70 to finish at 17 under. He had to hold off, though, a late charge from Xander Schauffele as well. Victor Hovland also was at 15 under, and Hideki, believe it or not, despite entering the day with a 5-stroke lead, surrendered that lead, had some trouble on that back nine as he started on the 12th. He goes bogey, par, bogey, double, and then par, but closes out birdie, birdie to finish. I don't know if he knew that he could walk away from 18 with par and still win, but you could tell he really went for it. And on that approach shot in on 18, he took a little bit of a risky angle there, but it ended up paying off. And for Hideki Matsuyama, he walks away as the champion down at the FedEx St. Jude.
He certainly did. And I'll tell you, Hideki had one heck of a week, and he's still continuing to have another week. As you mentioned, I think earlier, Hideki, his caddy and his coach, when they were in London coming back from the Olympics to play in the event last week, he was robbed. They were at dinner in the airport and their bags were taken. And when they took the bags, they took the passports of the coach and the caddy. So they had to return to Japan. And as luck would have it, they made it to the BMW this week for Hideki to promptly withdraw after the first day. But his back nine, to your point, was a wild one. He had a 5-shot lead when he walked off the 11th green, and then in a matter of 30 minutes found himself actually a shot or so behind. And it seemed like everything was unraveling very quickly, and a lot of people were pointing to a potential rules infraction that I think a lot was made, but ultimately it was nothing, where when he walked off the 11th green and got to the 12th tee, a rules official approached him, and it was a, you know, rules video analysis by the name of Mark Dusbabek, and he came to explain that he wasn't going to be penalized. And from 5 holes earlier, when they thought that he stepped on a pitch mark that he made and that was in his line. Well, actually, his ball hit the green. They thought that there was potentially somebody else's ball mark in his line. He was just off the green. So Hideki went up and just stepped on it, and the cameras picked it up on it. So it took like 4 holes for them to finally analyze the point that the mark that he stepped on was actually about 2.5 to 3 feet away from the line that he was really trying to play. And they viewed that a guy of his skill set They firmly believe that he wasn't doing that with the intention of trying to gain an advantage. And as calm, as cool as he could be, he answered the question, "I was just trying to take care of the golf course." But it certainly didn't seem that way as things started to unravel for him, making a double and a couple of bogeys to get this thing close. But to your point, when it mattered most, Hideki reached down and at holes 17 and 18 played them magnificent. In fact, I'd even argue that 18, he almost got a little too aggressive with the lines that he took. But at the end, it came up, you know, absolutely perfect for him. He ends up making a birdie at 18 to seal the deal and, you know, be what I consider, you know, a champion and the type of champion that St. Jude would be proud to have.
Yep, good to see Hideki back to being the guy that we all know on the tour. All right, when we come back, Matt Golden, CEO of Tullamore Golf Resort, will join Mike right on their 10th hole tower coming up next. That's all coming up here in 2 minutes. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.